Chevalier. And one of my first ever, when I joined Scott DeMora, started training underneath him, the very first, when I was in the business, the very first independent Border City Wrestling show that I attended, Doug Chevalier had just passed away, and it was the Doug Chevalier Memorial show, pretty much. And it just kind of stuck with me, just in utter respects for the, you know, Border City tradition and, you know, the Can-Am Wrestling School. I just said, you know, we're going to call it the Canadian Destroyer. And they said, okay. And that was that.
Thanks for taking my question. This is Chris Featherstone from WrestlingNews.co and the Pancakes and Power Sam Show. How are you doing today, Petey?
Great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I've got a couple things just real quick. 2008, you were in the same room as one of the funniest promos of all time for TNA at the time, the mass promo that's became so popular nowadays. I'm wondering, just what were your thoughts when Scott Steiner was cutting that fantastic promo with you and Rocka Khan in the same room? And then my other question, on more of a serious note, is if there was one person that you could bring from the WWE right now into Impact Wrestling and start a feud with and compete against, who would it be?
Okay, well, to answer your first question, little known fact, I wrote that entire promo for Scott Steiner verbatim. So the math does make sense. No, but seriously, like they said, you know, you have like a minute and a half promo. And back then, Vince Russo was the director, producer of everything. And, you know, there was really no like, hey, we want you to say this. They just said, hey, you know, talk about your match with Angle and Joe. And then PD, you know, finish it up with whatever, like a one-liner or something like that. I'm like, okay. And then he just starts talking. And, you know, if you watch the promo back, the clip, I look directly into the camera as if to say, like, are we still rolling? Oh, okay, I guess we are. So I might as well get back into character. And so it was one take. And the one thing I know about Vince Russo is that he liked when Steiner, like, stumbled over words and stuff like that. I know Steiner didn't like stumbling over words, but Russo really liked it because he said – he felt that, you know, Scott had all this like pent up frustration and rage that of course he's going to stumble over his words because he can't even, you know, think straight or talk right because he's so frustrated and everything. So, I mean, yeah, like Russo understood Steiner's character and he knew, you know, that was good TV and it's epic. People still talk about it to this very day. And, you know, the math at first, it did make total sense. And then it's, didn't make sense because he started going out over 100% and all that. So I got lost, and that's kind of when I looked at the camera. So, I mean, but it's great. And like I said, I ask Impact Wrestling every single week to bring Steiner back. I mean, I lobby for that all the time because, yeah, I mean, it's just good TV when Scott's on TV, and I like hanging out with him. It makes life interesting when he's around. So I hope that answers that question. And then the second question, that's a good question too. Who would I have back? I mean, do I bring back somebody that I used to rival with? I mean, I loved rivaling with AJ Styles. I mean, that goes way back to 2004. I remember our first monthly pay-per-view Victory Road. It was myself against AJ Styles, and you know, I really wasn't expecting to win that match. I know that he was, you know, kind of like the golden boy, the poster boy for the company at the time. And then just to come out victorious and still X-Division champion after that match, I mean, it just goes to show what the company thought about Petey Williams and the Canadian Destroyer and the character and everything. So, I mean, it would be good to have him back. I mean, all those guys, I mean, obviously I felt very comfortable working with them. And, I mean, I'd love to do it again, obviously. Some of the best matches I've ever had. Hope that answers your question.
It does, and according to the math, you have 141 and two-thirds chance of winning tomorrow, so congratulations.
That's a huge chance of me winning tomorrow, so thank you.
Indeed. Thank you.
Hi, BT. It's James from Across the Pond Wrestling here. How are you doing today?
Oh, great.
Brilliant. So my question is, back in the day, 2004, 2005, the big thing in Impact and for yourself was Team Canada. Now, if you were going to reform Team Canada tomorrow, who would you like to be a part of it and why?
Well, obviously, I'd like to have my old group back, but that's not going to happen based on circumstances and contracts and everything. But moving forward, if I had to pick a group, I'd probably have myself, and then probably A1. I'd have him back. A1 actually is he's back wrestling again. He looks absolutely great. He like works out like 3 hours a day. He's so jacked and lean. I'd love to have him back by my side. So those would be two original members. And then I'd have probably somebody like a Tyson Dukes, very well known in Canada, Border City guy. And maybe even like a long shot of like a Michael Elgin or something like that. So I haven't put too much thought into it, but I mean, that's another thing I lobby for besides bringing Steiner back is bringing back Team Canada. And obviously have Scott D'Amore as the coach, right?
Peter, we got a question from David Dunn of the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. Having started with Impact in 2004, to what do you attribute your longevity in the business?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. Well, I mean, I do admit I have been very lucky and blessed in this business. You know, I've paid my dues, set up rings, traveled all over the place and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like a lot of opportunities were like thrown like right at my face, and I just had to make sure I didn't move and then it hit me in the face kind of deal. Like, I've just been lucky with meeting the people that I've met and having doors open for me. I mean, it's one thing to have a door open for me, like an Impact when I first started there. And, but you know, it was ultimately up to me to deliver and perform and secure a position with the company. But a longevity standpoint, I mean, yeah, I started 17 years ago in the wrestling business. And, you know, if you look at me, I'm not like flying all over the ring. I'm not trying to do anything that's like beyond my limits. The way I structure a match, I know I have my bread and butter is the Canadian Destroyer maneuver. And, I mean, that's what I try to go for. I mean, that's the purpose of my match. I want to hit that move so that I can win the match. That's pretty much what it comes down to. So you might see me go for it a few times in the match, but I know it's going to win me matches, and that's what I go for. So longevity-wise, I mean, I want to say I'm a smart wrestler. I don't try to do things that are, I guess, out of my league. I'm not going to go do a 450. Yeah, I could do a 450, but it's going to look maybe 70% good, whereas somebody like a Max Seidel or, you know, an Ishimori can do a 450 100% good. So why would I want to do something that's 70% good when I know there's another performer that could do it 100% good? So, yeah, I mean, I want to say I'm cautious. That's why my longevity's always been there, and I've been free of injury, knock on wood, thus far.
So I want to make sure, PD, if you're doing a 450 at 70%, you're actually only doing a 315.
Yeah, but if you're doing a 450 at 141.6%, then you're doing almost like a 630.
All right. Well, we'll give a little tribute and tip of the hat to Scott Steiner for that.
Oh, man.
Hey, PD, this is Graham Matthews, Hitmo.com. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
You had mentioned before Team Canada. I just want to get your thoughts on the recent success of former members Eric Young and Bobby Roode in WWE, and if you keep in contact with them to this day.
Yeah, I do. I'm so happy for them. I mean, we all kind of started and were signed to a contract all at the same time in Impact in 2004. You know, now obviously it's our goal to work your way up, you know, in wrestling, however it may be. You know, making it your career, that's going to be your job in life, and that's what we're doing, loving life. And I don't remember the last time I texted Eric Young. It was something, you know, I mean, goofing around. I don't remember what it was. I don't know. It was an old memory, but yeah. And then Bobby Roode, I think the last time I texted him, I saw him, he's looking good on TV. And, you know, we used to, I'll take you behind the scenes right now. We used to, you know, do each other's back when it comes to the fake tanning. You know, there's no surprise that, wrestlers use, you know, fake tanning, lotion. So I asked Bobby, I'm like, hey man, you're looking good on TV. What lotion are you using nowadays? And he told me, so we kind of swapped there, and that's what I'm using on TV now. So, yeah, I mean, we still keep in touch, and I'm so happy for them. They're doing what they love to do.
Hi, Ryan Billman from thegorillaposition.com. Petey, you're one of the legends in the formative years of the X Division. Now it's kind of being rediscovered by fans who didn't see it the first time. In the grand scheme of things, what do you think the legacy of what you guys did when you launched the X Division, what do you think it's going to be?
If you're talking about like back in the early to mid-2000s, well, you know, the funny thing is you don't realize that you're making history or you're creating something when it's actually happened. You know, it's always you look back on it and say, wow, that was like the glory years. So we didn't really realize what we were creating until we look back on it now and say, like, wow, you know, look what we've done and look what it's become. So when I look at that, you know, look at the guys that were involved in those glory days in the mid-2000s that still left with the company. It's myself and Sanjay Dutt. And, you know, I remember I was highlighted extremely well in the X Division, and I'm very thankful for that. And I would like for it to shift back to the way it was, like to like create that history again. We're not going to know it when it's happening, but if everybody, you know, watches and it's just, and as a part of it, you can look back on it 10 years from now, like in 2027, you could be like, yeah, I remember in 2017, Petey Williams came back, Sanjay was there, you know, and the X Division was doing something special. That's the goal, you know, to bring it back to where it, you know, was before, pretty much.
The follow-up to Ryan's question, a second question here came from David Dunn of the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. What matches from throughout your career would you recommend newer fans check out on the Global Wrestling Network?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, if I didn't get hit in the head so hard, I'd probably remember all my matches. So some matches I'm very proud of is myself versus AJ Styles and Victory Road 2004, and then I think it was Turning Point, same year 2004, myself versus Chris Sabin. It was about a 20-minute match, and I really enjoyed that match. And then just going on the following month, January 2005, myself versus AJ versus Chris Sabin, we had an Ultimate X match, which is regarded as maybe one of the best Ultimate X matches in Impact history. That's a good starting point. If you want something more towards my Maple Leaf muscle character, I really enjoyed my match with Frankie Kazarian. Slammiversary is probably 2000 and it's either 7 or 2008. It was in the Memphis area. So there's that one. Very proud of that match. And then myself against Xavier Woods in 2008, I want to say it was August 2008. Don't remember the name of the pay-per-view, but it was in New Jersey. I still regard it as probably Xavier Woods' best singles match to date. And then also, I think September of 2008, it was myself versus Sean Daivari versus Xavier Woods in Oshawa, Ontario. It was another pay-per-view, which I regarded as a good match as well. So, I mean, that's a good starting point, things that pop off the top of my head. If you're watching the Global Force Network, I'd say start there, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Williams, Stephanie for Theatre Magazine again. I hope I'm not going to make the system break again. My question is, I'm working for a British magazine, even if I'm French, and my question is quite easy. You already wrestled in England. Did you enjoy it? Do you want to come back? Do the fans, well, your experience with wrestling in UK?
Yeah, so I don't remember when I first went over there to the UK, but it was for the Wrestling Channel. And, man, I tell you what, the United Kingdom fans are, they are awesome. I mean, it's, there have always been huge events that I've wrestled at, and they are some of the best fans out there. And just to not take away from the fans, but the wrestlers themselves, I remember when I used to go over to the UK back in probably 2004-ish, that right around that time, I felt that I don't know what it was. I felt that the UK wrestlers were kind of, I don't know, stuck in the past. But then I just went over there in 2013, I believe it was. And my God, did those UK wrestlers really turn it around. I mean, I want to say that they have some of the best wrestlers out there right now. I was blown away by how the wrestlers really came to, and that the younger guys really took a grasp on the wrestling community, and they're just awesome. Like, I remember being over there and be like, wow, you guys have really turned around over the past 10 years. So I'm very proud of the UK wrestlers and the fans. Yeah, absolutely. Will I come back? I'm working on coming back to the UK and everything like that. I don't know if Impact has anything lined up, but if Impact does, you know, I'd be happy to be on that tour as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Pete. It's Lee Med from Live Radio over here in Scotland again. Earlier on, you were talking about, obviously, Team Canada, and back in the day, you had, obviously, Coach DeMore, who was a great manager, coach, call him what you want. Do you think there's still a place in the modern wrestling scene for the manager?
Oh, for a male manager? Or just him in general?
Yeah, for the role in general.
Yeah, I definitely believe so. I mean, Scott DeMore is, you know, definitely a great talker on the mic, and he could hold his own against anybody, and that's why they put him on the mic back in 2004. So, yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's so much stuff going on with social media and what's going on in the world and stuff like that. So there's so much more material out there than there was in 2004. So I could definitely see it and it working. Yeah, I mean, whether Scott wants to do it or not, that's up in the air. That's for him to decide, not for me.
Cool. Cheers.
All right.
Hey, PC, it's James again from Across the Pond Wrestling. The news recently broke after the last set of tag teams in Canada that James Storm was planning to depart from Impact. I wanted to know if you could talk a little bit about James, his influence on the company, and a bit about your relationship with James Storm as well.
Yeah, James, you know, he's been with it since the beginning. So as soon as he came back from his last match, Impact in the Ottawa tapings, I just went up to him and I hugged him and I said, hey, man, I've been in your position before. You'll bounce back. That's exactly what I said to him, because in 2009, I was in a position where if I lost the match, I had to leave Impact. And believe it or not, James Storm was one that actually pinned me. He's the one that kicked me in the face. I think Bobby Roode pinned me. But either way, it was their team that made me leave Impact. So, I understand where he's coming from, and he will bounce back. I mean, wrestling goes full circle. 2009, I was supposed to leave Impact Wrestling forever. I came back in 2013 for a few months, and now I'm back in 2017. So nothing is forever in wrestling. We all know that. So, I mean, you might see James Storm in the future again, but, I've always had a good relationship with James. I mean, the first time I actually ever went to Disneyland was with James Storm and, you know, my girlfriend at the time, his girlfriend at the time. I don't know where he's going from here, but I mean, he's always been a guy where in the company, he can step out in front of the crowd and, you know, he's Impact branded pretty much. He always gets good reactions. and he's just he's a great worker. And, you know, I wish James all the best.
Hey, PB, this is Graham Matthews, hitandroad.com again. You spoke earlier about the latest set of tapings of Impact that just took place in Canada. And obviously, even before that, you were wrestling for Impact here in the States in the Impact Zone out of Orlando. What was the biggest difference in the atmosphere? Of course, obviously, aside from being from Canada, the biggest difference in wrestling in Canada and the USA for Impact?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head right there. You know, me being from Canada, you know, being in Canada as well, I mean, that was a huge difference in the atmosphere. But also, I mean, we had a whole fresh set of eyes watching our product rather than being at Impact, the Impact Zone, which we've been there since on and off since 2004. So 13 years in the same city is a tough thing to do. So just have a fresh set of eyes, I mean, that's huge. And it means a lot to the talent, to the wrestlers as well, because, you know, you almost want to not try harder, but it's just, you have a fresh feeling about it. You get excited again, I guess you can say. But it's interesting because the whole, like my whole career since 2004, when I debuted in Impact, I've always been pro Canada. I'm Team Canada. My moves, a Canadian Destroyer. I was Maple Leaf Muscle. Everything's always been Canada about me. So it's just good to see that I can still do this character 13 years later and still have the fans on my side. So that's great. That means the world to me.
Hi there, Jamie from Last Word on Sports again. Ed, you'd spoken quite a bit about Scott D'Amore already, but if you kind of go back the last 15 years, Scott's kind of directed, trained so many people that have become monstrous stars in the last 15 years. I mean, whether it's helping out with Gail Kim to guys like you and Bobby Roode and Eric Young and Moose and Kushida and so much. And we're all having great big years this year as well, Motor City Machine Guns, Rosemary. What is it about Scott D'Amore's training that he kind of creates these people who have become such big, impactful, no pun intended, wrestlers in the industry?
You know, I'm not really sure. To be honest, maybe it's a fundamental thing. I just know that a lot of, you know, some people have their basic training down. Like I know, for example, Chris Sabin was basically trained. He trained under another individual. Then he went to Scott's school. Scott kind of tweaked a couple things, opened up some doors for him. And, you know, he was considered a Border City guy. The first day I ever stepped foot in a wrestling ring was at the Can-Am Wrestling School under Scott D'Amore. So I'm privileged to be considered one of the very few that have actually started. Like my very first bump was in a Border City Can-Am wrestling ring underneath Scott D'Amore. But yeah, people know that, you know, Scott has, you know, helped a lot of people on the way. So I know, for example, if I was starting out wrestling today and today was my first day in wrestling, I would probably seek out to Scott D'Amore's school. Just because knowing what he's produced and everything. I don't know if it's anything. I do know a couple things that I can give to you that I know that Scott really harps on and sticks to. When I first started wrestling, I was 18, maybe 19 years old. And Scott knew I was in university, or I was in college. And Scott said, hey, listen, man, you need to finish your degree at school, because when wrestling's done, you need something to fall back on. And I was like, all right. So it was pretty much like a few months after I finished up my college degree and everything, he had me step into, you know, the Impact Zone and said, hey, this guy's good. So he made sure I was done before he pushed me to that next level. So he really harped on that. So I thank him for that, that he did that. Also, I mean, just fundamental things as well. And like, for example, I know a lot of schools out there and wrestling promoters and stuff like that, they'll have you train, some of them, I mean, the bad schools, have you train for a few months, and even if you're not ready, they'll put you in a match. You know, Scott was adamant. Like, I knew guys that trained for a year and just because they weren't ready yet, and Scott's not going to put out somebody that's not ready that could potentially hurt themselves or, whatever the case may be, hurt somebody else. Scott's not going to do that. He has too much pride in the wrestling world. So that's two things that I really enjoyed about Scott's school, because I don't think that's taught universally across other wrestling schools.
Great, thanks.
Hello, PD. This is Will the Great from the Impact Lounge UK. Hope all is well with you, sir.
Awesome. Great.
I wanted to ask you, how was it performing, not only in Canada, I know that's your hometown, but at Impact's biggest pay-per-view of the year, Bound for Glory, in front of your children? What was the experience like for not only you, but your children as well?
Well, the tough part was, I mean, my children were like 8 hours away. So, you know, they weren't able to experience it. And then I was gone all week, so I wasn't able to, like, experience it with them. But what's good is just to see – they have seen me wrestle before on this second run of mine. The first run, I only had one kid. They never saw me wrestle. But, I mean, it means the world to me. I mean, I remember they were sitting and this isn't Bound for Glory right now, but this was just another show where I was kind of doing a warm-up match before I came back. You know, my wife's sitting in the crowd with them, and, you know, she said to them, she says, okay, I know you usually call him Daddy, but today is the only day you're actually allowed to call him Petey. So that was cool to hear them chanting, you know, Petey and stuff like that. And just afterwards seeing them, I try to tell them, you know, it's fake, even though I don't like using the word fake, because I do get hurt a lot in wrestling, but predetermined, but to portray it to a small child, I'm like, it's fake. Daddy is okay. You know, 'cause I don't want them crying or anything. And my three-year-old, my wife said she thought she was going to cry, because the first thing that happened in the match is I got punched in the face. And then she looked at my wife and then went, get him, Daddy, get him. So I was like, oh, no, she didn't cry. She wanted me to fight back. So I'm hoping they understand and everything like that. But it means the world to me that I get to share it with them, especially when I leave. They know I'm going to wrestling, and they understand what that means, and they know what it looks like when I actually say I'm going wrestling. So just an awesome experience. And that's why I'm having so much more fun this time around. I have more people to share it with. I have my family. I never got to share it with a whole entire family before.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that with me.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, Petey, it's James from the Wrestling Epicenter again. Good to speak to you once again.
Yeah.
My question was going to be, probably the reason you're doing this teleconference is that tomorrow night, the big match against Eli Drake for the world title, Eli is just such a dynamic performer, such a great guy on the microphone, but also able to go in the ring. Thoughts on Eli Drake as a performer?
Yeah, and, you know, at first, you know, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I know he's the world champion. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I just didn't know. It was the unknown. And then after, you know, like, Eli has, like, a bunch of cool points that a lot of other people don't have, like other wrestlers. He just has this coolness about him, which is, I guess, cool, I guess you could say. So that's really good. I mean, that's what you want to see in a champion, and Eli delivers that. And then as for stepping in the ring, I mean, he's great in the ring. I mean, he's better than I thought he was, than he was going to be. Not that I thought he was going to be, you know, bad or anything like that. It's just there's a style when it comes to the X division. I know that style, but then there's also a style when it comes to the heavyweight division. And I know that style too. And they're two totally different styles, I would say. I've wrestled both, and, you know, obviously I prefer the X division style, but he has this niche about him where he can, he almost has like an X division type style to him. And you'll be able to see that, when you tune in tomorrow on Pop TV. But I really, really enjoyed the match with him. And I hope you guys enjoy the match, when you guys watch it.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Jamie, last word at sports. And, I'm wondering if it almost seems that in the time since you've been away, the Canadian Destroyer has become a huge move. Like, it's become almost one of these iconic moves that you're seeing everywhere from internet clips of people trying to do double Canadian destroyers and so forth, up to us seeing John Cena using it last year. Was that ever something that ever crossed your mind that this was going to become something like a future DDT or something that becomes this massive, almost cult-following move?
No, it didn't at the time. And like going back to what I said before was you don't realize that you're creating history when it's actually when you're creating it. You always look back on it and be like, wow, you know, you created history. But yeah, and just to clarify, so John Cena didn't do the move. He did something called the Code Red, which Amazing Red used to do. It's a flipping powerbomb, not a flipping pile driver. Gets confused a lot. But yeah, I see it all the time. I feel like once I retired 3 years ago, it seems like every single match everywhere, there was a Canadian destroyer involved in it. So much so that I think it was upsetting a lot of other wrestlers, saying like, hey guys, can we tone it down on the Canadian destroyers? And then now that I'm back, it just seems like there's less of it. It's kind of like an out of a respect thing. Like wrestlers are saying like, oh, Petey Williams is back. It's his move. Let's let him have it. And I'm totally cool when people do it. I know they say imitation's the best form of flattery. So, you know, I'm flattered when people do it. And it's good because I can look back, and not too many people can say this, that they've created something in wrestling that's, you know, going to last forever. Not too many wrestlers can say that. Like, I know this for a fact. Like, I'm very confident when I'm, like, 70 years old, I can be sitting in my living room with my grandkids watching whatever wrestling show is popular at the time, and there's going to be some kid, probably not even born yet, doing the Canadian Destroyer on TV. And I can look and say, hey, that's what I contributed to wrestling. That's me right there. That's what I did. So it's just good to show that when I'm long gone, that'll still be around, and that's my legacy.
Hey, Petey, this is really great again with the Impact Lounge. My question for you is, tomorrow I know you have an opportunity where you'll be challenging Eli Drake for the Impact Global Championship. And my question is, we've seen over the years how it's been kind of a change as far as guys of smaller stature getting the opportunity to not only challenge for whichever company's world title they have, but in some instances we've seen cases where these guys have been successful. And I was wondering, is there anyone that you see in the current X Division or the crop of X Division stars that you can see in the foreseeable future potentially challenging and perhaps winning the Impact Global Championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's good about, I feel like, the Impact roster right now is I feel like probably 80% of the wrestlers could transition into being the global champion. I think that's how deep our roster is right now. Like, I look at guys like Trevor Lee. I don't see any reason why he can't. I think he's a phenomenal performer, and I don't see any reason why he can't compete, if not be the global champion. Same with, like, Matt Sydal. He's worked everywhere in this world. He could do pretty much anything, and he's a phenomenal performer. Same with Desmond Xavier. So, I mean, I could see, and myself included, I can see pretty much anybody taking that spot. I mean, call me nuts, but that's what I believe.
Okay. Well, thanks again, and best of luck in your title match tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
We got time for just a few more questions. I know we're going to run over that hour time, but we had a little technical glitch, and I do want to send a big shout-out to Susan, who is helping me with the stuff from with the conference call. So thank you to her, and we'll wrap it up with it. Just a few more questions for you, Petey.
All right.
Hey, Stephanie for Theatre Magazine again. My question is, who are you looking forward to wrestling, competing from this new roster? And also, who would you like to tag team with? And I want to thank you for your time. I'm going to make it in French. Merci beaucoup.
Oh, well, okay, thank you. Yeah, so guys I would like to wrestle, let's see. you know, obviously Eli Drake, he's world or global champion, and you know, you get to see that tomorrow. And man, I'd like to go head to head with Matt Sydal. I haven't done it in like probably, oh God, like 13 years or so. So that'd be something I would like to do on Impact Television. Even guys like EC3, I'd like that opportunity as well. Even go one-on-one with like Desmond Xavier, maybe Ishimori. So yeah, I have a list of guys that I'd like to go in there with and wrestle. As for forming a tag team with, I really enjoyed it over the past few weeks. I was teaming with Sanjay Dutt. You know, Sanjay's always been a very close friend of mine. He's also, you know, one of the pioneers of the X Division as well. And I think we would form a good team, and I even have a name for it. I would call us Seek and Destroy. I know Sanjay religiously is not a Sikh, but, you know, there's like 20 million Sikhs in India, and Sanjay's from India, so he could be the Sikh part of it. I could be the Destroy part of it, Seek and Destroy. I think it's clever. That would be one tag. And I'd also like to team with, you know, somebody like Johnny Impact. I think that would be great to team with him. Yeah, I love his style and watching that. Yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, this is Chris Featherstone from WrestlingNews.co and the Pancakes and Power Slam show again. I got a question for you, of course. So WWE just recently broke the news that James Ellsworth is released. You ever had any interaction with James Ellsworth? And if not, how would you book him in a match against you?
So I don't remember having an interaction with him, but a friend of mine who I have my own podcast I do, but a friend, my co-host asked James Ellsworth, hey, do you, Petey can't remember, but do you, have you ever ran into Petey on an indie show? And he said, James Ellsworth said, yes, this year, I can't remember what it was. He probably doesn't remember. So yes, I have ran into him. I do not remember the interaction with him. I would book him, I mean, against me. I don't think it would be much of a match. I mean, I would say the same way that he was booked against like AJ Styles, like it wasn't much of a match at all when they finally got to it. Not to discredit James Ellsworth, but you know, he's been used as like a lackey for the last little bit on television. So, I don't know. That's a good question. How I would book him. Good thing I'm not the booker of Impact.
Hey, Petey, this is Graham Matthews again with HenryMode.com. About 9-10 years ago, Impact released a video game, and you were a part. What was your reaction to being a part of that video game, your debut as a video game character in a wrestling video game?
It was awesome. I remember I had to do I did some motion capturing for that game with Midway, and then I had broke my orbital bone when I actually had to do my photo shoot for my character, so I had, like, a huge black eye, but they, you know, obviously the technology and stuff like that, they edited that all out. I mean, it was awesome. I wasn't in the main roster. I was a downloadable character. I think myself and Curryman were downloadable characters. And I think I'm pretty sure they told me, that the very first, move that they captured, the very first mocap move was the Canadian Destroyer. So, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool that the Destroyer could, you know, the move itself can make its debut in that video game as well. I still have a copy of it, not open, but I still have a copy of that game.
All righty, Ryan, we're going to go to you for the final question today.
Hey, Petey, Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. You stepped away for a while and came back, and now you're a veteran and one of the leaders. People always ask the guys, what advice would you give about wrestling to the younger guys? My question is, what's the best advice you could give to the younger talent for life outside of the ring? And thanks for your time.
Outside of the ring?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And my advice would be the same thing that, like, Scott D'Amore, you know, kind of instilled in my head, is always have a backup plan for wrestling. Wrestling is not going to last forever. I do understand that I could step into the ring tomorrow. I could break every bone in my body, and then what? You know, you're not going to be able to support your family anymore. So, I mean, that's the best thing I could tell other wrestlers, just have a backup plan, as well as, like, you know, when you're on social media, like when I first started in wrestling, there was no social media. Sometimes I wish there was no social media because, you know, sometimes people say stuff jokingly, and everybody gets so hurt about it, you know. And sometimes I just wish we could go back in the day, like 15 years ago, where, you know, people can still take a joke. But it seems like that's not the world we live in anymore. You know, everybody has to be politically correct, but you have to be able to adapt to that and just be careful. Whatever you put out there on social media is going to be there forever, you know, and there's no going back saying, oh, like, you know, I hope people forget. Like, yeah, people forget, you know, the next somebody else is going to make a mistake, but just, you know, do everything wisely. You're always under the microscope, so just be smart about a lot of things. That's all I'm going to say.
All righty, Pete, we'll wrap it up with that. I'll ask you for a final thought heading into Impact tomorrow night when you look to capture that Impact Global Championship from Eli Drake. But I also want to throw in there, what would it take you to throw that Canadian Destroyer on Josh Matthews?
Not much. I mean, I'd even probably take Canadian money. I know it's not worth as much as American, but, you know, I would do it for free. I would do it for you, Ross, on Josh
deal,
Matthews.
Deal.
Yeah.
Can't wait for January.
Oh, yeah, you're going to see it. Me versus Josh Matthews, Canadian Destroyer. Just final thoughts. I mean, this is, I've said it again and again and again. This is probably tomorrow night is one of the biggest matches of my entire career. And, you know, I knew that going into the match, for the global championship. And I just hope I deliver and everybody watches and they enjoy it just as much as I will.
All righty. PD, thank you very much. Media, again, thank you very much. I apologize once again for our glitches with the conference call at the start. Again, big thanks to everybody who helped assist as we get going here. We went literally a full hour with PD, which is amazing. And we will be back next week with yet another Impact Wrestling Media Teleconference.